Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name's Mark Cuniberti. The U.S. government finances its massive spending in three ways. It collects revenues from taxes, tariffs, and other income sources. It borrows any shortfalls from investors and world governments through the issuance of its IOUs, commonly referred to as U.S. treasuries, U.S. bonds, or U.S. notes. Lastly, it can create money from thin air through a process called quantitative easing, or QE. This third process, QE, is only a variation of the second. Instead of issuing treasuries to investors as IOUs, it issues treasuries to another branch of the U.S. government, in essence loaning money to itself. The combination of these three methods provides the financing for government spending, with QE being rarely used. Many argue QE is like the lender of last resort. It is usually frowned upon by world governments as a banana republic-like policy, meaning governments can only finance themselves by printing up paper dollars like confetti and then using that money to buy whatever it wants. The market for U.S. government debt dwarfs all other asset markets and is commonly referred to as the bond market. It is the supermarket for U.S. and global debt and trades billions of dollars worth of global government IOUs daily. The more government overspends, the more it has to borrow. The more it borrows, the riskier that government debt is perceived as it relates to its ability to pay off that debt. Much like a bad brother-in-law writing checks and IOUs all over town, the more debt that is issued, the higher the risk of default. When countries continually increase their borrowing to finance themselves, much like a compounding credit card, the interest that must be paid on that debt grows ever larger. It eventually can become serviceable only by issuing more debt at an ever-increasing rate. This accelerating rate of borrowing increases interest payments on the growing debt, creating a vicious cycle of paying off old debt by issuing new debt. Think back to our brother-in-law once again. It's much like him paying off his older credit card debt by borrowing from another credit card. The eventual end game of this grand scheme comes when those doing the lending get nervous that the IOUs they hold will never be paid. In the bond markets, this increasing debt is reflected by higher interest rates. Investors, perceiving more and more risk by the borrower, demand higher interest be paid to them to compensate them for that risk. In our brother-in-law example, you may not loan him any more at 1%, but you might think about it if he offers you 10. The world debt markets work the same way. When a government exhibits the propensity to run higher and higher deficits and needs to issue more and more debt, the interest rate it must pay on that debt in order to get more people to continue to loan it money must go up. As the amount of debt grows, the interest rates the governments must pay go higher and higher. At some point, a government may no longer be able to afford the higher rates, and a partial or total default of that debt may occur. Economic history maintains a perfect record when dealing with overspending governments. The result is always higher and higher interest rates the government must pay. That's followed by massive inflation that can eventually lead to a total or partial default by that government. The default is accomplished by a currency devaluation or an outright refusal to make good on all its IOUs. Either way it goes, it has dire consequences for both the debt holders, the government, and the unfortunate citizens of whatever country is doing it, because their dollars lose most of their purchasing power and therefore impoverish many of its inhabitants. Think Mexican peso and you get the gist of what occurs. But for now, fret not. A default, even a partial one by the U.S. government, is still regarded as inconceivable. How long that can go on, however, is anyone's guess. But whether it's through borrowing or just the printing up of the dollars, so long as the U.S. government keeps spending more than it takes in, the default event gets closer and closer every passing day. In conclusion, given the circumstances, we must ask the question, are U.S. treasuries, bonds, and notes really the safest investments in the world? If history is any example, you have to wonder. Unless the U.S. gets its financial house in order, stops its incessant borrowing, and curbs its spending excesses, those smart money investors buying these supposedly safe U.S. treasuries could end up holding an awful big bag of nothing. Only time will tell. And that does it for today's Money Matters. I'm watching the market, so you don't have to. Remember, this newscast expresses my opinion only. It's not meant as investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell anything, nor represents the opinion of any bank, investment firm, or registered investment advisor, nor this media outlet as staff members or underwriters. I hold a BA in economics with honors 1979, and California insurance license OL34249. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. My name's Mark Kuhnberg.
I certainly was in the right.
Definitely like geezers cruising for bruising.